Jason Manford.
Absolute Radio.
Where real music matters.
Good morning. It's the Jason Manford Show on Absolute Radio. Hope you're very well this Sunday morning. Steve Edge is here.
Hello, hello.
Hello, how are you?
I'm all right, guess what?
Pray tell.
It's raining.
Oh, is it? Do you know what? It's,
yeah.
It's actually all right up here.
Well, give it a couple of days. You'll have it.
You've got a little microclimate though, haven't you?
I know, but I thought that when they say microclimate, I thought it would be in the positive way rather than in the negative way. You know what I mean? I didn't think it meant, yeah. You know, it'll rain all the time. But I'm building a shed, aren't I? Which isn't, you know, rain and wood. Not a good combo, really.
Just that being outside, yeah. I know what you mean.
Yeah, I don't mind that. A bit of peace and quiet in it. Get a little podcast on.
Well, I've been playing a lot of paddle tennis. You know, I'm a paddle tennis guy now.
You're a paddle tennis guy. We know this.
Tennis guy. I've been playing that. And I've got to say how difficult that game is with soggy balls.
Just take a change of clothes and then you...
they spray all over your face. Like...
Is it outside then?
Yeah, it's all outside, yeah.
I'm getting confused. I thought it was like in a big cube.
Like the cube.
Yeah, like the cube. That's gone. That won't be back.
That will very much not be back. That's a poison chalice.
I love the cube.
It was a great show. I did it with my brother that time, do you remember?
Yeah, I remember, yeah.
So good. Loved it. Explain
paddle tennis, because I don't think I really understand what it is.
Okay. Imagine tennis and squash together.
Right. Squashed together.
Squashed together, yeah. Squennis. Yeah. Right. I don't know where to go with that. Could be that. So you've got a smaller tennis court, so it's not as big as a full-size tennis court, and then around the back and the sides...
The baselines and the sidelines, those ones, yeah.
Yeah, so the very back line and the sides is a glass wall.
Like a perimeter keeping, so the ball can't go out of play.
So, yeah, essentially. So you're not spending ages going to get your ball every time, which is always a nightmare.
Right, yeah.
And you can use the glass to sort of, to, as a shot. You know what I mean? If it comes off the glass, you can hit it, volley it off the wall and that.
So it can never go out of bounds, can it? No?
Is it just it can if you obviously hit it out of the glass box.
Over the top of the... Yeah, that
can happen. And there's like a little cage at the side, so if you hit the sides... Then is out as well because you know. So it does mean that it's always
in play. Going, isn't it?
It's always play, moving. Yeah. So it's quite fun. It's exciting. But I've been getting a bit obsessed with it. I've played it like 6:30 the other morning. I got up before everybody went to school, and then got back into the school run. Like everyone was like, "Where have you been?"
Just sweating loads.
yeah.
Daddy, why are you sweating so much?
But I tell you what's nice about it is, you sort of sign up to an app. It's called Playtomic, and then it tells you where your nearest paddle tennis courts are, and then you sort of just jump onto other people's games. You know, other people have sort of just signed up they've booked the 7:00, and you go, "Oh, he looks like a similar rating to me, or she looks all right. I'm going to go and I'll go and play them." So it's very sociable.
I'll see if there's one near me. The Rye Paddle Tennis Club.
I bet that'd be good standard. But I reckon it'll be the Olympics, not Paris, but I reckon the next one. I think it'll be there. I think it's that big.
Are you in training for it now, or?
Well, if there's maybe like a veterans league.
Yeah, like walking football.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I told you about that fella who won the bowls. He only started at 55, Commonwealth Goals, Commonwealth Games medal.
I'm going to join a bowls club, I think. I think that's my next... paddle tennis sounds a bit high-octane for me. A bit of bowls.
It's good because it's not too hard. Tennis is hard on your shoulders and your knees and that.
It never goes out.
Everything's underarm.
Legs.
Most of it's underarm. You can smash it, but you it always comes back, so you may as well just try and tap it.
Yeah, you're only fighting yourself, aren't you?
Yeah, you smash it, comes back at you.
Same speed. Yeah, it's exactly. Pointless, that, isn't it? Yeah,
exactly. So,
can ace yourself, basically.
Yeah. No, I've been thinking about bowls for a while because my best friend at school, Lucy Kellaway, who I've been friends with since like we were 11, her dad, Mike, when he retired, he got big into bowls. He was playing cricket, then he played bowls in Chorlton. And I've always loved Mike. He's like just dead funny. And I thought I'd like to hang out with him a bit more, you know. And I keep meaning to ring him and say, "Hey, can I come and play bowls with you?"
There you go.
He might say no because it's quite a you know, yeah. I don't want to embarrass him in front of the club, you know what I mean? When I,
yeah. It's his thing, isn't it, as well? Yeah,
it is his thing, exactly, to get away from everybody. And yeah, I'm like, hiya, Mike, do you remember me from when I was 11? Yeah.
Do you always have four balls? Or is this one heavier than that one? Just stop talking, stop talking.
Questions for Steve. That's right. We've got a question. Sorry, Steve.
I know. I went off into a little thing. I'm just trying to think of how he got the pitch of the thingy exactly the same as the pitch I was saying questions for Steve. Because did he play it or did I just, with the perfect pitch, had I found the perfect pitch? I don't know what had happened there.
I don't know. I think he's just a very good producer.
He's very good.
So we've got this one from Paul. This is a bit of both, actually. This is a bit of a questions for Steve and Bin Chat.
Oh, that's a crossover, isn't
it? I have to remix the, remix the jingles.
Hit me with your questions for Steve. Something like that.
Help, he says. Oh, wow. With an exclamation mark. Help. Oh, an event of apocalyptic nature happened this week.
This sounds serious. I'm not sure this is a question for Steve. This is...
person to the police.
Yeah.
One we have all faced, and the sense of dread, Paul says, and despair is real. Yeah. I forgot to put my bins out, but it gets worse. This week was the household rubbish bin, as opposed to the recycling. Recycling, I can bag and take it to local tip.
But also, you can stamp it down, can't you? You can last a week, another week with this recycling, but with you can't with the rotting fish.
However, general waste, not so easy. As a family of four, our bin is always full. What am I going to do with the next 2 weeks' worth of rubbish? What can I do, Steve?
Oh, dear, I don't know. I agree what he said. It's apocalyptic, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
I just can't remember the last time. I mean, it's obvious, but he's tried stamping it down. He's tried jumping inside the wheelie bin. Done that.
Well, you wouldn't do that with the food waste, would you?
You're going to have to if you've got to wait another week or 2 weeks.
No, I think that's terrible advice.
No, well, it's in a bag, isn't it? I'm just jumping on banana skins. It's all bagged up, isn't
like
it?
Crushing grapes.
Yeah, it's not. Yeah, there you go. Make a family out of it. A family of four. You all have a go each, so you can get it down the furthest point. It's a little game.
I think you're right. I think you can make a bit more space, but it's not going to help. When's that bin man coming? When they coming? Another 2 weeks?
It could be 2 weeks, couldn't it? If
you know what I mean? Yeah, 2 weeks. So, I think what I would do.
Yeah, burn it.
Put it through a neighbour's window. Is that this one?
I'd say put the neighbour's window through, and then put the bag through the window, the hole that you've made in the window.
That could be it. Yeah.
What can you do?
Well, I think you've just got to get it in the car and get it to the tip as quick as you can.
Can you do that? Is there a spot for...
Yeah.
The tip, is there a spot for...
Of course there is.
I thought it was all like wood here, metals here, battery acid here.
Everything else here. Old tellies, and then you can get rid of your garden waste, yeah.
It's not garden waste, though, is it?
No, not your garden waste. But you can take whatever you want to the tip.
I don't know. Can you? I don't know anymore. Yeah, it feels like there's so many rules.
There are a lot of rules.
It's changed a lot since my day when you go, there's a tricycle down there, let's have that. And they go, that's gone.
You're not allowed to get down and get other people's rubbish.
You were in the old days.
Oh, back then. Different back then, wasn't it? So I would just grin and bear it. I think windows open in the car and double bag stuff as much as you can.
Yeah.
Get it in the back of the car and take it to the tip and just do that. I think, Paul, that's the only thing you can do because otherwise it's going to be a nightmare.
That's not a good day out, though, is it, for the family?
It's not a fun day out, but I don't know. I think people like the tip.
Yeah, I think we used to. I think there's more rules now. What's your registration plate? Have you got a council tax bill to prove you live in the area? It's all a little bit.
Yeah, like it's like Soho House now, isn't it?
It is a little bit. You've got to be a member. You've got to have a special card. Do you know what I mean?
You can only go so many times in a week.
Yeah, and then if you're outside the area, you get a slightly cheaper membership, but then you never really use it. It's a bit of a waste of money. Are we talking about the tip or so? This is Jason Manford.
This is Absolute Radio. Where real music matters. I've tried something a bit different for this tour, Steve. So my tour went on sale on Friday.
Yeah.
And for this one, I'm not going to be involved in social media. I'm just going to try and see if through the theatres and the arenas and the venues and the promoters, whether it'll just do as well as when I'm selling it myself, selling my soul.
Why are you doing this? Is this some sort of experiment?
Yeah, it's a bit of an experiment because all the time, right, I'm on my phone all the time, right? Yeah. Whether it's games, playing Monopoly Go or 8-Ball Pool. And then also, you know, I just had an hour and a half argument about football. I never argue about football on Twitter this morning. Never do that. Politics, I'm like defending Angela Rayner at one point and someone had a go at something. It gets very horrible and personal, especially Twitter. It's a cesspit of horrendousness. Yeah. And I'm just adding to it. So I just thought, right, I need to come off social media. But then always in my head I go, but I have to be on social media because of my job.
Yeah, that makes sense.
And then somebody says, well, Peter Kay and Michael McIntyre, and they're not on social media. You're like, yeah. And they're the two biggest sellers in the country. I mean, they're anomalies, to be fair, so you can't really. I'm not comparing myself against them. So I just thought, I wonder what difference it makes whether
How
I'm
involved
or not.
How long are you going to carry this experiment on
I'm going to try it for a couple of weeks, and then obviously if it's not sold anything, I'll be like, hey, everybody!
Hey, everybody! Let's do a TikTok.
To Shrewsbury!
It's TikTok Shrewsbury. I do one every week. I do a little dads. Yeah. Yeah, worth a go. Good.
I just thought, and then it's just good. And that means I've sort of cleared the social media off my phone and I've just sort of let it crack on. Because I start getting involved in like, people start messaging going, I'm just, Ticketmaster keeps putting me through to this thing and it's asking me to prove I'm a human.
Not my area.
But me, you know, I'm like, oh, let me have a look at that for you. I can't get two tickets on the same row in Oxford or whatever, you know. So I just thought, right, no, I'm not. I remember one year someone saying, when I did the O2, I remember someone saying, is there any good curry houses near the O2? And I started Googling it.
Yeah,
I thought, you wouldn't ask Michael Bublé this. Jason Manford. Good morning, it's the Jason Manford Show on Absolute Radio. My big week, Steve, this week is I went back into Wizard of Oz.
Oh, you're back. You're in Manchester. Being
the Cowardly Lion. I'm here all week. So I started on Wednesday in Manchester. Because the guys were up in, the cast were up in Newcastle last week. So I drove up there last Wednesday and did a few hours rehearsal. Same on Friday. I was like, okay. You know, so I managed about 8 hours rehearsal to go back into this show that I did last August. Obviously, went through the script, learnt the script, relearnt my song, you know, had to relearn the dances and stuff like that. But all muscle memory. I was like, oh, it's all there.
Still in there, yeah.
Still in there. It's kind of weird because, I don't know if I said this to you last week, what's odd is everybody is obviously the same person, like the same character. Dorothy's a Dorothy and Scarecrow's a Scarecrow and the witch is a witch. But when you, and they're saying the same things, but when you look at them, their face is different. So it's like a really weird dream.
Yeah.
Where you're it was my mum, like, but it thing, wasn't my mum.
Yeah, it's very much like that bit in the play. You were there. And you were there, but you had a different face.
Exactly. So it's very odd. But it's very good and it's a lot of fun. And it was a pleasure to do it in Manchester. So I get to Wednesday. We run through a few things and first half goes relatively well. But obviously what I've not done is put my suit on or the makeup, the nose and the beard and the wig and all that sort of stuff. Yeah. So halfway through act one, I can already feel myself like sweating through and I can feel my beard starting to come off.
Slip off a little bit.
So I'm like trying to repin this beard mid scene. Anyway, got away with that. It was fine. It managed to stay on. We re-glued it at the interval and it was fine. So we come into the second half, and there's a bit, and you remember from the film where it's a song that's been cut from the show, but in the film he sings, "If I was king of the forest," and then he goes into a whole speech about courage.
Yeah.
What makes a king so bold and brave? Courage. What makes a flag on a flagpole wave? Courage. All that, you know.
Yeah.
What about a rhinoceros? Imposterous. All that. So I've got all that in my head. I've done, and then as we lead into that scene, there's just a moment where I think, oh, I think we might have skipped over this. I don't think I, did we re-rehearse this? And I'm sort of having a moment. Then I'm thinking, right, what is the line? I've got a line in a song. So it has to rhyme as well. You can't just say anything. And it's got, and it's literally gone from my head. And I'm like, oh.
Just one line?
One line. Mm. And I'm like, it must be in there. I thought, what I'll do is I'll just wait. Music, like the music will kick in, muscle memory will kick in, something will just carry me straight away through.
Yeah, it'll be fine. Yeah,
got to that bit. I turn around. Tin Man and Scarecrow are staring at me. The line is not coming out. And I'm looking at 2,000 people as well. Yeah. So obviously the main thing what you've got to do is just stay in character.
Yeah, yeah, just, yeah, try and, yeah.
But what I've learned from doing this job for the last decade and a half is it's all about confidence.
Yeah.
Even when you mess up,
yeah,
do it confidently.
Yeah, and no one will notice.
Well, either they'll not notice or they'll go, oh, we're in safe hands here. Even though he's messed up, he's fixed
yeah,
it.
Yeah, yeah, he's covered
so
it.
So I literally went, is it me? They both nodded. I was like, okay, wait there. And I went off stage.
Good.
To the
new bit.
Yep. And then just stood on stage. I was like, I went off microphone. I was like, what's my line? I gave him my line. I came back on. And then forgot it again.
Oh, no.
He just told me. I think in the panic of it. And yeah, obviously it was getting big laughs because it was just so ridiculous. I went back off. He told me again. And the maddest thing was, of all the words that I forgot,
yeah,
I forgot the word coward.
Oh, I mean, yeah.
I'd be such a coward, I'd be easily overpowered. That's the phrase I was supposed to sing. And so I just came on and did a bit about that. I was like, I said, I was afraid this would happen. then, I thought it was you with no brain. Yeah. So we had a bit of fun. And then when I sang the song, I tell you what, I've never got a bigger cheer in my life.
What, because you got through it?
Yeah, everyone went, way, the whole place. It was so like, I think it just had a bit of, don't forget, I did the panto in Manchester. So I think everyone was a bit like, oh, it's a bit like that then.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Booing the Wicked Witch.
Yeah, like, yeah, yeah, yeah.
So yeah, it was so quite a lot of people have messaged me afterwards, and even at Stage Dawn, they were like, "Oh my god, that bit where you forget the line—that's so funny." Is that in every night? I was like, yeah, "Well, you'll have to come and see, won't you? Have to come and see
that's
again."
That's all planned, my friend. meticulously rehearsed every single bit you see.
Yeah, oh, God bless me.
Absolute Radio, where real music matters.
I feel like I spent the last hour just talking about me. I didn't ask anything about you. Well, what have you been doing? How are you, Steve?
I'm all right. I've been, like I said, I've been trying to build a shed at the bottom of the garden. My son loves a shed. We spent a lot of lockdown in a shed. Yeah. So I've just been trying to do that around there. But, it's all, foundations. That's what it's all built on. You've got to do slabbing. Where they drop off anything is far away from where the shed is. And I've got to go across a little bridge. It's like a crystal maze. Like a bit of wood arrives, and I have to go down a little alleyway, go over a little bridge, over some fish pond, down a slopey hill, through some trees, and then put it down, and do it all again 58 times. That's basically what I've been doing.
But you've got a podcast on or something, you said.
Yeah,
you're not bored.
Try enough. No. I mean, your mind goes into a different zone. You start thinking about other stuff, don't you? I quite like that. Whatever that is. It's like when you do a jigsaw. You're doing the jigsaw, but your mind's somewhere else. It's quite nice.
Yeah, I hear you. You're essentially doing a jigsaw, but like the most boring jigsaw.
I'm using a jigsaw. I'm using a jigsaw.
Weird.
It's all happening.
How's it going? Can we see a picture of it at some point?
Well, when it's, at the moment, I've just done the floor. That's what I've finished. You've got to build a frame for the floor. You've got to level it. You've got to build a frame. I've just done the floor. That's taken me about a week and a half. I only get like 3 or 4 hours, don't I? And then I have to take the kids to school.
Of course.
Come back, do another bit. But it's getting there, slowly. If it stops raining, it'll be a lot easier. But it's a labour of love, isn't it? So it'll be fine.
Yeah.
Al's very excited. He's very excited.
I bet he is. I'm excited for him. And what's going to go in this shed?
Same as last time. There'll be a little settee, a little telly. He loves a DVD, Hal. I told you, during the lockdown, we watched The General by Buster Keaton. We watched that film about 400 times.
Yeah.
And he loves getting it out. And he's just got into Lauren Hardy. Nothing to do with me. He just bumped into it somehow on
DNA,
on YouTube.
Mate.
Yeah. And I said, I've got all them on DVD. And he's like, oh, so we're going to watch them in the shed? Just a little...
So it's not a shed.
Pad.
It's not a.
Oh, it's not a shed. No, there's no tools in it. It's got a carpet in and Wi-Fi. It's not a shed.
Right. Yeah, I hear you.
I mean, it is a shed essentially. It's a summer house. It's built like a shed. It's built out of wood, but it'll have.
And if anyone from the council asks, it's a shed.
Well, no one's living in it.
It's not a dwelling.
No, it's not a dwelling. No one's living in it. We'll sit in it, and we might watch the telly occasionally. But that's it.
Oh, it sounds delightful. I love the sound of this. I love the sound of this shed. Will you be receiving guests?
I may be at some point. Yeah, yeah. Why not? It'll be a nice little place to go up and meet you down the shed.
And we got an email the other day, actually, I can't find it now, but we got an email the other day asking how you're getting on with your wine. Just explain to people who might not know.
Oh, the wine's done now. So last year, we've got a little vine that grows over where we sit outside, a little sort of, what's it, a pagoda sort of thing? It sort of grows over there. First year we were here, we did nothing. We got something like 12 bottles. So you pick the grapes. You send them to Car Taylor, which is a little vineyard around the corner, and they do all the work for you and they give it you back. It's like £3.50 a bottle or something. Mm. This year, we had 46 bottles last year.
Wow.
I was in Gozo, but it was all picked by my wife's cousin and my mother-in-law. Picked these grapes, 44 bottles. 44 bottles, I think? Yeah, 44 bottles. Brilliant. So we got 10 bottles of white and 34 bottles of rosé, because I think he's better for a rosé. But the white's all right, the white's drinkable. If you're at a wedding, the way I describe it, and it was on the table, you'd drink it.
Yeah, fair enough.
Right. I don't really like white wine, and rosé, I feel, is you've got to drink it in the sun. No one's sat on the settee at night in winter drinking rosé.
No. What name did we give it in the end?
I can't remember. There was one that was, I think we never really worked it out. I called, no. Tam's cousin is called Mark Knight with a K. So I've called the White Knight, because he did all the work.
Nice. Oh, fair enough.
And then for Christmas, you can send a picture of your cat or your dog and they dress it up. They don't dress it up. They Photoshop it like it's dressed as a pirate or an admiral or something. I'll send you the picture.
Yeah, I need to see that.
Yeah, one of my cats, Jay, that one, she did a picture of him and he's dressed as a baron. It's a great photograph. Although we did notice they photoshopped a couple of chins out, but that was beside the point. So the rosé is called the Baron's Rosé and it's got a picture of his face on. I'll send you a picture of the bottle now.
I can't wait.
So you get, you know, an idea of it. But
I can't wait. Well, there you go. I hope that answers everybody's questions there about the wine and the shed. We're all up to date. Big news coming out of Italy, Steve.
Really? What's happened?
Milan are thinking about banning ice cream and pizza.
What?
I know, it's like an April Fool's.
Yeah, when did this news come out? Yeah, April. Yeah. Beginning of April.
Proposed by the local government.
Oh, dear.
This law aims to restore peace and quiet to the city's streets.
What's happened? Careful, he's had a Diavola or whatever he's kicking off.
Yeah. He's had two scoops of salted caramel.
Oh, he's two scoops and he's had a sorbet.
Yeah. After three scoops, he's anyone's.
Yeah.
much to the dismay of gelato enthusiasts, the proposed legislation resurfaced after a previous failed attempt in 2013 seeks to curb the clamour caused by nocturnal revellers. So it's a late night thing. I think it's after midnight they want to.
Oh, after. What, is it like gremlins? If they eat a pizza after midnight, they start multiplying. Yeah, okay. All right,
If passed, it would outlaw the consumption of takeaway food and beverages, including the beloved pizza and gelato, after the stroke of midnight. The rationale behind this crackdown to alleviate the disturbances caused by rowdy groups congregating in the wee hours, distributing the serenity of Milan's residents.
Right. The bars are still open there, yeah?
Yeah.
That should fix it.
Deputy Mayor Gino Ginelli explains...
That's not his name.
Not his name, though. Deputy Mayor, but he's called Marco Granelli, so it's
he
close.
Sounds like he could be an ice cream magnate, I suppose.
Deputy Mayor Marco Granelli explains, the goal is to seek a balance between socialising and entertainment and the peace and tranquility for residents. This delicate balance is set to be enforced across 12 districts with restrictions slated to kick in midnight on weekends and slightly later time, and slightly later time on weekends and holidays. The proposed measures set to be implemented mid-May till November target outdoor dining, specifically aiming to clear the streets and quiet the din. However, concerned citizens have until early May to voice their objections.
Oh, I think there'll be some objections.
I think so.
I want to object now, and I'm not even Italian. But it's,
and I've never been to
Milan, no. No, that's... See, why can't you... If you need to have something to eat, don't you? I mean, that's also the thing about the ice cream is mainly the dessert, isn't it? So, you know, at the end of your meal, they go, sorry, mate, you can't have a dessert now. You left it too long. Can't give you ice cream.
Well, but also, who's kicking off at an ice cream parlour?
No, but will it go underground? That's what I'm worried about. Yeah, is there going to be people out on the street? Yeah, mate. Or a couple of scoops of this.
Yeah, mate. Do you want a slice of any bianetta?
Just one cornetto. Give it to me, mate. Give it to me.
Yeah, the, I think they might be causing a bigger problem, to be honest, there.
Yeah, I think they're going to start. Yeah.
Gino Ginelli.
Yeah.
Well, I will see. We'll see how that pans out. We'll deep pans out.
I was like, oh.
I almost heard you go for it.
Yeah.
And we'll keep you abreast of that that information.
Radio. Manford. Where real music matters.
We've had another little question for Steve. This is from Josh Thompson.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
He says, my dad is a big fan of you, Jason, and I know Steve did stand-up too. I want to be a comedian one day. May I ask you for any tips?
Oh, okay. Tips?
Mm.
Well, I mean, write some jokes. That's the first one, isn't it?
Straight away.
Good start, isn't it?
Well, yeah.
What would you get together? A 5-minute, 10-minute? 5 minutes. Well,
the first thing I'd do is I'd get a notebook and a pen, and I would start writing down all the things that you think are funny straight away. Even if they're not jokes, they're just like stuff that are funny, stuff that people say around you, stuff that has happened, maybe a funny story from your past that's in there. So I'd definitely start writing stuff down. That makes sense.
You could do it on his phone, you know.
Yeah, you could. I'm going a bit old school there.
Yeah, because you're going from where you did it, you know.
Yeah, that's true.
I used to have a little, you know, one of those little recorders. I'm not going to say dictaphone because I know you'll do it.
You remember those little recorders? Like everybody else.
Yeah. I got one of those and I used to, I found it the other day actually in a box. I'd like to listen to it because I bet it makes no sense at all now.
Oh my,
you know, I've got fragments of ideas.
Yeah, well, I used to do that, but then like in the middle of the night, I would wake up and record stuff. And then the next day, ramblings of a madman.
No, I once had a notebook next to my bed, and if I had a funny dream that I thought there was a routine in it, I'd write it down. But you know, you're half asleep and stuff. And I remember waking up one morning, it just said, rabbit doctor. That's all it said. I have no idea what it was about. But it was in the dream, it was like a brilliant routine about you went to see the doctor and he was a rabbit. I don't know. I don't know it was. But maybe it's another way of engineering it. Just write two random words and try and write something funny about them.
That sounds like a Netflix show, if I'm honest. You've got baby reindeer,
rabbit doctor.
Yeah, I like it. Keep writing. Mm. Watch loads of comedy. Watch loads of stuff on Netflix and BBC and all that stuff, YouTube and all that. It's all free, so watch as much as you can.
Don't go with the obvious ones.
Yeah. Look for people that you might not have heard of. Yeah. And then I would go and watch some comedy, go and watch some open spot nights, open mic nights. And then once you've seen how low the standard is, I got to say that it really is a driving force.
Yeah. No, it can be,
I remember when I first started seeing people, I was on £3 an hour collecting glasses.
Yeah. Is this at the Buzz Club?
This is at the Buzz Club in Chorlton, yeah. And I remember seeing a guy absolutely die a death.
Yeah.
And still get paid 120 quid.
Yeah, I think this is.
And I thought, hang on a minute, I could be rubbish at it.
Yeah.
That was definitely something in that. Go watch some live comedy. You can just type that in. Just Google, you know, live comedy near me, and you'll find somewhere. Watch as much as you can, and then it's just a case of ringing around and just seeing if you can get on a little open spot gig. And get, you know, and hopefully your stories that you wrote in your little notebook or on your phone are funny enough to get through. So that's what I would say. There's also courses. I know there's like, it's not for everybody, but there are like stand-up comedy courses that you can do. Usually like done by someone who used to be a comedian.
Yeah.
But that's quite good, you know, so that's something to look at. So there you go. Hope that's helpful, Josh. I feel like we actually gave a proper answer there for once, rather than just saying put someone's window. And then go around and put somebody's windows free.
Yeah, because that's always fun. Right?
Hit me with your best fact.
Yeah.
Fire away.
You're right. Excited?
No, I always forget how long it is.
It's so long. I think when we move producers, we need to get that sorted.
Truncate someone, that a little bit. Yeah.
Just get someone proper to look at it. Right. So he's not even listening.
It's called a tail. Maybe talk over the end of it.
That's what we're meant to do.
Right.
We're meant to do that, aren't we?
Someone's grown a set.
No, I was just enjoying it. That's what it was. I was admiring your work. I mean, if you want me to talk over it, I will do, but I was just admiring your work.
You should talk anyway. Over art. It's fine.
Talk over art.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Right. Anyway, should we do this? Yeah. So you can email us, jason@absoluteradio.co.uk, with your best facts. It's as simple as that. There's an Absolute Radio mug to be won if you are this week's winner. Jen Townsend has messaged. She says, during the building of the M6 toll road, 2.5 million Mills and Boons novels were pulped and used in the construction of the motorway's top layer.
What? Paper?
Yeah, but pulped, I guess. So it's maybe it doesn't become paper. Wood again.
The toll road. The toll road starts in sort of Cannock, in where I grew up. I've said it before. There's a frisbee in there somewhere of mine, and that toll road. Never mind the Mills and Boons book.
It's there. 45,000 books were needed for each mile. Where did they get these Mills and Boons novels
from? I don't know,
but
why specifically Mills and Boons? It's so weird.
It feels very personal.
Yeah, it does really.
From the that's weird.
Wow, I mean,
wow, I like it though. I do want to know more about it.
Good fact.
All right. Darren Nobes says, I bet he has to defend that a lot.
Yeah, I bet he does. Yeah,
bet he does.
Are you spelling that?
Nobes, N-O-B-E-S. He spells it.
No, that's what he has to say every time.
Yeah. In Switzerland, it's illegal to own just one guinea pig.
Is it? Yeah. Why?
Well, maybe for the mental health of the guinea pig.
Get lonely, the guinea pig, yeah. But it's an experiment, isn't it? If you have one of them, what better than a guinea pig?
Yeah.
To the, you know.
It needs a wee pal.
Yeah. Why is it so sad?
Yeah. In Switzerland. And I'll go with another short one, I think. Tracy Benbow says, again, mad name. Did you know that the human brain eats itself?
Oh, I don't like facts like this.
I didn't Why need to know
it?
That one.
I don't. I can feel it sometimes, can you? Know it. I'm living it.
Lisa Tierney starts off with this one. This is quite a topical one, actually. We like a topical one.
Yeah, we do.
As Jason is reprising his Cowardly Lion role in Manchester this week, here is a Wizard of Oz fact.
I feel like we've had some Wizard of Oz facts before, haven't we? But
some good ones. There's a lot of dark ones as well.
Asbestos and all that.
All that. It can be assumed that Toto is a male dog, but she was a female dog and was paid $125 a week. This is roughly $2,200 in today's dollars, which was more than what many of the human actors received, not Judy, of course, and roughly 10 times the minimum wage.
Wow. What did the dog spend it on?
I don't know. Bones?
Yeah, bones.
Bones and that, yeah. I guess. What else is there?
That's it, isn't it? Bones and treats. That's it.
Bones and treats. Nothing else you want out of life. That's pretty good, that. I like that. I might even slip that in as a fact later on,
Just
maybe.
Throw it in, yeah, when you get in rehearsals.
Yeah.
Yeah, just start talking about get it around to Toto and then go, Toto, your film, you know, female dog. Do you know how much she was on a week? Where's this come from, Jay? We're just trying to... We're just trying to. The set was wobbling yesterday. We're just trying to sort this safety thing out. No, have a guess how much the dog was on. Not now, mate.
The whole thing, though, if you go through it, like, so the green makeup that Margaret Hamilton was
poison,
toxic, yeah, toxic,
yeah, cool, yeah.
Toxic,
yeah,
which is just mad, and like the asbestos for Snow.
Yeah, but in those days, asbestos was like a wonder mineral. Everyone thought it was...
Yeah, of course.
Still.
Yeah, Margaret Hamilton again, she suffered third-degree burns, I think, on after a stunt with one of her hands got burnt.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah. The lion...
Yeah.
Real lion hair.
It's real lion hair.
It's a real lion hair. Well, not my one now, obviously.
No, but that must have been heavy because you know, the skin's still there, isn't it?
Tim Mann, he nearly died from aluminium dust.
Did he?
Yeah. I don't know. Why are they picking the worst things possible to paint on these characters?
Scarecrow's the only one who got it. What was it covered in, Scarecrow? Is it just like...
Yeah, a bit of straw.
It's just straw. I'm all right, lads. I just got straw. Yeah, we're not going to use straw. Doesn't look like straw on camera, so we're going to use vipers. Yeah. Vipers? Yeah.
What are you coughing at? Straw's fine. Yeah, so anyway, bit of a mixed bag of facts there from Wizard of Oz.
Yeah, he's probably moaning. Oh, you think you've got something to moan about? She's really itchy, this, mate. Really itchy, this.
Paul has messaged and said, for health reasons, in the late 70s, early 80s, Canadian snooker player Bill Werbenuk, I think that's how you say it, had a letter from his doctor to say he was allowed to drink as much lager as he wanted whilst playing tournaments. In total, he'd drink 40 to 50 pints a day.
Does that make you a better player? I mean, there's a point, isn't there, where...
Yeah. What? I tell you what it does do. It makes you a terrible doctor.
It makes you an awful... Yeah.
Terrible doctor. What doctor's saying that?
I adopt, mate. I'm just a snooker. I like a drink when I'm playing snooker. What is the safe... You know, what would you say to say? As much as you like, mate. As much as you like. I'll write you a note now.
I've had four already. It's not even 8 o'clock.
It says there, look, as much as you like. I can't read it. Yeah, he's a doctor and he can't read his handwriting, but it is there. That says as much as you like. That says paracetamol. No, it doesn't. No, you can't read it.
I can't imagine that made you a better snooker player.
I think there's a point that what might steady your, like 1.2 point, darts. But over that, surely.
Yeah, seems a bit mad. Yeah. We got Tuck, who says the shortest scheduled flight is in Scotland between Westray and Papa Westray. You actually get a certificate if you fly the route. It lasts less than a minute and the route is shorter than the main runway at Heathrow.
So you just literally go up and down? Well, longer to get up than it is to come down?
Well, I guess it would. I mean, it's a bit like that when I've flown Manchester to London.
Yeah, it's a bit like that, isn't
sometimes
it?
If you're sat like seats sort of 22 back, you don't get a cup of tea.
You ain't got time. Yeah. What is it? It's like half an hour or something like that, is it?
Yeah, exactly. So I presume it must be one of the islands then, I guess.
Yeah, but that seems really short. Is it 1 minute in the air?
Yeah, it does seem a bit. Yeah, imagine it's not a full jumbo jet, is it?
I'd just walk it. I mean, that's.
Well you'd have to swim it, I'm guessing.
Oh, is it between islands, you think? Yeah.
But I'm presuming so.
Build a bridge. Build a bridge. Or get a ferry or something.
Yeah, maybe.
That's not good for the carbon footprint, that, just for the sake of it.
It does seem a bit over the top, doesn't it? But I guess if you've got to get there, and that's where your work is, what can you do? So it makes sense. Wendy's message, she says, stewardesses.
Mm.
She's put it in inverted commas, so she means the word. Stewardesses is the longest word typed with only the left hand.
Oh yeah,
if you're a proper typist, lollipop, typist, yeah, yeah, which, like one finger. Yeah. Yeah, lollipop's the longest word you can you write with your right hand.
Oh, is it? Lollipop. Lollipop should be a longer one.
L O L L I P O P. Yeah, there you go. That's right in that top corner, all that as well.
Well, the other one is over there, that corner, isn't it? I'm just trying to think of it. What's the one in the middle?
Yeah, I don't know. I'm not good at Wordle.
Wordle.
I don't know. Well, there's not many. There's only the U in the middle, isn't it? For your
eyes. Well, it's going towards the eyes, isn't it?
Yeah. So you're going to say, I'd say tubby.
H-I in the middle there. M-N. Yeah, it's not a lot, is it?
It's not a lot, is there?
No. That's why they've just chosen the left and the right ones. That's why they've ignored the middle ones. Well, I suppose that makes sense, doesn't it? If you're using those more, the vowels and stuff.
Yeah, makes sense. Makes sense. Yeah. Claire Ford says scientists were able to grow a human tooth from scratch using stem cells taken from urine.
Mm.
Oh, that fact got madder and madder the more I said.
Yeah, it just got weirder. So good news is we've made you a new tooth. Oh, that's brilliant. What's bad news? We've made it out your wee. What? Pop that in your mouth? No, I'm all right. No, pop it in your mouth. No. This is taking years. This is cutting edge science. No, I'm all right. I want a plant-based one.
Yeah. everything just tastes the wee. Yeah. Horrible. Don't want that. And Conor Malloy says, buffalo, 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 buffalo is a grammatically correct sentence in English.
Is it?
What?
Oh, okay.
What's that about?
Buffalo, buffalo. How many times did you say buffalo? About seven times.
I said it 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. I think I said it 8 times if I read it correctly.
Ooh, okay.
Why? Yeah. Is it someone just standing there going, right, what can you see in the field? Buffalo. But he's not put any commas in either.
Yeah, that could be anything, couldn't it? You could just be sheep.
Yeah, exactly. Car.
His name is still in a field. Oh, eight buffaloes. Grammatically correct as a sentence, is it?
Why is that then? Because I remember there was one years ago, which was you could get the word and five times in a row in a sentence and it still makes sense. Do you know that one?
Just the word and.
Just the word and. Five. No, it's got words either side.
Oh, okay,
but,
yeah.
But within a sentence, the word and, you could put five times together in a sentence and it would make grammatical sense.
Oh, okay. Right.
It was from an old... It was like a sign writer who's got... There's a pub called Wagon and Horses. And he creates a new sign and the landlord's not happy. And he says, well, why are you not happy? He says, well, look there. There's too much space between wagon and horses.
Wagon. Yeah, no, yeah. There you go, yeah.
So that's how you get five. So maybe it's something like that.
Yeah. I don't know about that, but yeah.
I don't know. Some good ones. We'll have to have a real think about this.
Music matters.
We've been playing Hit With Your Best Facts, and it's time to pick a winner. What do you think, Steve? What's the one that's you want to know more about?
The Buffalo one's got me intrigued. I mean,
the Buffalo one, that's all I can think about.
But I feel like I will mention the Mills and Boons one again.
Well, yeah, because you're from that way, aren't you?
It's just weird. Just driving over romantic fiction on a really sort of dreary bit of motorway. Really unromantic bit of motorway that you've had to pay, like, what is it now? 10 quid? 12 quid?
Yeah. Yeah, I know what you mean.
I think they should have called it the Mills and Boone Bypass.
And then, that would have been nicer.
You know, and instead of Norton Kane services, you could have, like, you know, Lovers Beware or, or like, themed it.
I don't know. So let me rattle through what we've got.
Okay.
So we got the Mills and Boons, was used as pulp for the 2.5 mile. Oh, let me explain that one again. So we've got the M6 toll road. 2.5 million Mills and Boons novels were pulped and used in the construction for the top layer. In Switzerland, illegal to own just one guinea pig. We had the information about Toto, the dog from Wizard of Oz. That's roughly was like on 2.5 grand a week wages, more than the humans. Paul told us about Bill Vernebreek, if that's how we say his name, who was on 40, 50 lagers a day, doctor's orders.
Paul Vernebreek.
Yeah, exactly. He doesn't know, does he? Human brain eats itself, according to Tracy. There's a flight. Shortest flight is between Westray and Papa Westray. It's just less than a minute. Stewardesses is the longest word, typed with left hand. That's from Wendy. Human tooth from scratch, scientists created from urine. Buffalo is a grammatically correct sentence in English. So what do you reckon, Steve?
I mean, I can't see past the buffalo.
But we're going to be disappointed, aren't we? Because it's going to be like the and one.
No, but that was good. That wasn't disappointing. I'd not heard that one, and that was good, I thought. You know, the space between wagon and also. That's good.
Yeah,
that's a good one.
It's a good one to slip into conversation, that one.
Yeah. But what's this going to be? Do we know this one? We
got more. All right, well, I've got some information.
Okay.
And it is what we think. So buffalo is a grammatically correct sentence used as an example of how homonyms and homophones are used to create complicated constructs.
Oh, I want with an me so far? I understand.
Well, you will in a minute. So the sentence is unpunctuated and used three different readings of the word buffalo in order of their first use. So we've got buffalo as in the place, Buffalo, New York.
Oh, okay.
The animal buffalo,
yeah,
as in buffaloes. And this one I think is a bit... the verb buffalo, which means to bully, confuse, or deceive, or intimidate.
Does it? I've never heard of that.
No, I've not either.
Buffaloing all over the place. I've never heard that.
So if you swap, if you swap out bison for buffalo as in the animal and bully for the verb
buffalo,
and leave buffalo to mean the city, it now becomes buffalo bison, bully bully.
Okay.
Does that make more sense now?
Yeah, absolutely clear as day. I'm glad you cleared that up. That's fantastic. Whoa, what a fact. I can't wait to use that
one. Slip that in.
Yeah, slip that one in.
I think it must be in American English. It can't be proper English.
No. Yeah, no, it's not. They've probably spelled Buffalo wrong and everything. You know what I mean?
Yeah, what you're saying is Buffalo. I'm going to have a look one more time. Right.
Go on, have a go.
Let's have a quick look one more time. Right, okay.
Buffalo.
So Buffalo Bison.
Yeah.
So that's bisons from the town of Buffalo.
A Buffalo Bison, yeah.
Yeah. Whom other Buffalo Bison bully, themselves bully Buffalo Bison.
Okay, that makes more sense.
Yeah. So now I'm saying Buffalo, 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 Buffalo. Buffalo,
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 Buffalo, Buffalo, Buffalo.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that makes
sense. So now it makes sense.
Yeah, exactly what you're saying. Well, they need to sort that out. That's all I know. They need to sort that out because they can't be doing that.
No, just pack it in buffaloes. And I don't think anyone's ever said buffalo so many times on the radio. A mug will be winging its way to Buffalo. I mean to you.
Where real music matters.
Thanks for joining us this morning here on Absolute Radio. Steve, what you got planned the rest of the day, rest of the week?
Just a bit more shed work, I think. Just non-stop dadding.
Non-stop. Yeah, I hear you. Non-stop. I hear you. What am I doing? I am lining.
Lining.
Bit of lining. And so I've got a weekend of that. Two shows pretty much every day. Over the weekends, and then one last week here in Manchester at the Palace. I'd love you to come. A few nights are sold out, but it'd be lovely to see you. Come and see The Wizard of Oz. Very fun and lovely show. And have a lovely Sunday, whatever you get up to today. And we'll see you same place, same time here on Absolute Radio.